On page 498, we are on Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Pasuk 21 and 498, chapter 32. Last week we discussed at great length. The question was asked, why did the Egel happen? Why did sin happen? We discussed at great length the whole consummation of Beinu breaking the Luchis, the way it was really good that he broke the Luchis. Hashem said, thank you. And all the various different things that Hashem wants us to sin, because then you could become Baal Tshuva. Simchas Torah we celebrate for the second Luchas, not the first Luchas, and so on. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai. He sees the Egel. He takes the Egel, the Luchas, and he breaks them. We discussed last week, one opinion says the letters flew up, so it became too heavy, he just dropped it. The simple text of the Pasuk is he actually threw it down. So Moshe said to Aaron, what has this nation done to you that you have brought a terrible sin upon them? Moshe Rabbeinu was turning to Aaron, so to speak, blaming Aaron. What did the Jews do already to you that you caused them, that means that you hated them so much that you should cause them to sin in such a terrible sin? What did you do? But this is after Moshe Rabbeinu got rid of the Egel. You know, the first thing he did was got rid of the evidence, so to speak. Before he goes back up to Hashem, he has to get rid of the evidence. The first thing he did was he got rid of the Egel. He ground it up. He gave the people to drink, like we learned last week. The people that were guilty, the stomachs burst open and they died. But now he says, what did they do that you did such a terrible sin? So now Aaron is clarifying to Moshe Rabbeinu the story. For Yemet Aaron, Aaron says like this, Al Yichad Afadeini, please don't be angry. Which, as the Mefarshim explain, an interesting thing. The fact that Aaron is saying to Moshe, don't be angry, means that Aaron is going to be saying something to Moshe that would make him angry. That he has to say to begin with, please don't get angry, means, by the way, get ready, I'm going to, what's Aaron doing over here? It's the Jewish thing to do. He blamed Moshe Rabbeinu for the Egel. And we're going to see.
This is really something interesting.
I know, we're not there yet.
Well, listen, let not my master's anger flare up. And the master is written with a small M.
Yeah, because it's Moshe, not God.
Oh.
But Yehme Adin Adin said, Al Yichar Afadeini, please, my master, don't be angry. After Yadaita's Ha'am, he says like this, you know the nation, that, keep it all, that it's a bad nation. Now, what does it mean, Ha'am? So we learned before in Parshas Bishalach, the Klei Yoked explains in Parshas Bishalach that when it says Ha'am, it means the Eid of Rav, the multitudes of Egyptians that went together with the Yidden. So what happens over here is, who caused the Eid of Rav? I mean, who caused the Egel? Mm-hmm. We learned the Eid of Rav. So Aaron says to Moshe, after your dietes, you know the nation, the Eid of Rav, Kibarohu, that they're bad, because they lived their whole lives in Egypt. They're a bunch of idol worshippers, the whole Egypt. And in fact, the Mefarshim explain that they used to worship the lamb. That's why they made the golden calf. It's all, the, all they're all connected. Vayemruli, and they said to me, Aselanu alikim, let's make a god, Asheyelchu lefaneinu, that should go before us. Kizem Moshe Ish, because this man Moshe, Asher Helanu Meret Mitzrayim, that took us out of the land of Mitzrayim, Lo Yadayna Mehoyeloi, we don't know what happened. In other words, we don't know what happened to him. So Moshe, Aaron's saying like this, number one, don't blame anybody else but yourself. You brought these people out. Okay? Number two, he said, all they did was want to replace you. They didn't want to replace God. What did they say? Kizem Moshe Ish, that we don't know what happened. So let's make a new Elohim leader that would lead us. Now, the Mefarshim explained about, in Pasuk Chafal, he brings on over here a few interesting things. Maybe you had no choice, the Mefarshim explained. What is Moshe Rabbeinu telling Aaron? Maybe you had no choice making the Egel, they forced you, right? But the bottom line is, the sin was that they rejoiced. The sin is that they rejoiced. They tell a story during the Holocaust. There was, you know, people had to eat treif for survival. You're allowed to eat treif. But there was a Jew not only was he eating treif, he was enjoying it. He was enjoying the treif of food that they were eating. So somebody said to him in Yiddish, in Yiddish is a very rich expression, but he said to him in Yiddish, you know, basically, mainly you have to eat the treif, I understand. But was darfst du versmacken in the lippen? Versmacken in the lippen means, you know, when you eat something, go to the last drop, you go to your tongue, get every last drop that's on your mustache and on your lips and everything. The people said to him, okay, you have to eat treif, I understand, but you have to enjoy it. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, okay, they forced you to make an eagle, but they have to rejoice with it. They're parting with it. And you said, Chag Hashem Mochad, and you said there's going to be a rejoicing for Hashem. That's what bothered him. Or, another word, he says like this, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe said to Aaron, you still, bottom line is, you made an eagle. Okay, maybe you didn't have to give up your life, but still, you. Who's that? Okay, so you're get, not only, and then other mefarshim learn even more, that Hashem, the Moshe said to Aaron, this that you sin between man and God, that God could forgive you. But you sin, you cause the people to sin. If you cause the people to sin, you need their forgiveness. If you do something wrong to a person, you need their forgiveness. Okay, so he says like this, Vayim Elohim, and I said to them, Aaron is answering, so to speak, what's going on over here. Vayim Elohim, and Aaron said, I said to them like this, Lemizahav, who has gold, his parah could take it off, Vayitnuli, and give it to me, Vashilcheil Ba'esh, and I threw it into the fire, Vayetze Yo'egel Azeh, and out came this eagle. So Aaron said like this, I wanted the stall time. I said, who has gold? I knew they weren't supposed to give the gold. In fact, like Aaron said before in the Chumash, Aaron told the men to get the women's gold. And Aaron knew that the women didn't want to be involved in the eagle, so he was pashut stalling that they shouldn't get the gold. So what happened? Vayisparaku, they took it off right away from themselves, and they gave it to me. Not only that, but I threw it into the fire. I did everything possible that the eagle shouldn't happen. And he said, Vayete ha'egel hazeh. Which, by the way, is brought down in Sfarim, a very interesting concept over here. Sometimes people could do innocent things. But if something bad comes from it, you know, it's Vayete ha'egel hazeh. You know, you Taka didn't do anything wrong. You took the gold, you threw it into the fire, you meant well, you thought the gold was going to become burnt and melted. And the bottom line is, out comes this calf. They say it about a lot of different, to give an example. Sometimes, there's an expression in English and Yiddish, you rile up a herd of behemoths, and you get them going, and all of a sudden you say, oh yeah, I can't stop them. You know what I mean? There are many zealous people, zealous dynasties of people, that they were very zealous, and they riled up their chassidim, and they became a stampede of a herd, you know, for the zealousness of Yiddishkeit, and it got way out of hand, and you couldn't stop it. So this is what the Pasuk is basically saying. Sometimes you can have good intentions. As the expression goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. But the bottom line is, Vayetzi ha'egel hazeh, out came this eagle. No matter what happens, the bottom line is, the eagle is what happened. I mentioned, you have to look at the bottom line. You have to look at the bottom line. It's like, I told this to a few women recently, sometimes, you know, you're making Shabbos in the kitchen, or you're cooking for a simcha. You come into the kitchen, there's a mishmash and this and this and this and this. You can't judge by what's going on in the kitchen. You have to judge when the food comes out on the table. If it looks good, if it tastes good, that's what you have to look at. You can't look at what's going on in the kitchen. You know, when you're raising kids, there's you have to look at the bottom line. What's the outcome? What comes out of the whole thing? But I mentioned many times, the previous Rebbe once called in a chassid, a very, very well-known chassid, and he told him to do something. He gave him a job to do. And the chassid didn't do it. So the Rebbe called him in, the previous Rebbe called him in and said, hey, what happened? So the chassid answered the Rebbe legitimate reasons why he didn't do it. So the Friedrich Rebbe, the Rebbe said to him, listen, I asked you a question, you gave me an answer, but guess what? It still wasn't done. In other words, it doesn't matter what the whole thing is. The bottom line is, the golden calf came out. It doesn't matter what your intentions were. And that's it. I asked you a question, you answered me an answer. The bottom line is, it still wasn't done. What did you want
to
ask?
This is the whole plan, to make a tshuva.
That we went last week. But that was from Hashem's perspective, not from the Jew's perspective. Okay. Now, okay, you were, so Aaron Basin and Fushim say you blamed him. Okay, they did with the eagle. They wanted it threw into the eagle, the fire, and the eagle came out. Okay, now it says like this. The pasuk continues and says, "Vayam Meisha Sa'am, Meisha Rabbeinu saw the people, Kifaro is it exposed, the Shimsa Bekameham, because Aaron exposed him to disgrace amongst those who rise up against them." Meaning, Meisha Rabbeinu saw the nation, they were completely disgraced, they were bad, and they were in, there should be a gnus, there should be as a negative thing to the Jews, for everybody that wants to stand up against the Jews, that they will have this against the Jews. And like we learn later, that Hashem says, anytime I get angry at the Jews, I'm going to bring up the golden calf again. So this is like something that's going to be held against them for the whole time.
That's the worst thing we did to Hashem. I mean, that's the worst thing you could do to Hashem.
That's the worst thing that we did, yeah.
Until Mashiach comes.
Now, what did Moshe Rabbeinu want over here? Basically, what happened, as the Mefarshim explained, this egel was not only an egel that they worshipped idols and they did all this terrible stuff, yeah? The bigger problem over here was this was a chilul Hashem. Can you imagine how the goyim looked at this? They said, "Look at this! They just had Yitzias Mitzrayim, and they had Kriyas Yamsam, and they had Matan Torah. Look at this Jewish nation! It was mamash a chilul Hashem." So Moshe Rabbeinu had no choice but to openly punish the Jews, like he soon did. You know, some people willingly gave water to drink and they died, or he's going to tell Levi soon, just take the sword and kill those that, you know, participated in the eagle and the golden. Just, Moshe Rabbeinu had no choice. There's a din in Rambam, it's a Gemara, it's a din in Rambam, and it's brought down Shulchan Aruch, a very powerful din. It said, "B'makom sheyesh chilul Hashem, ein cholkin kovid afilu l'rav." The Gemara says, in a place of chilul Hashem, there is no respect for anybody, not even a Rav. In other words, you can't say, "Oh, if I disrespect, you know, how could I disrespect the Rav?" If a Chilul Hashem is happening, and the Rambam even quotes a pasuk, that when a Chilul Hashem is happening, there is no such thing as respect for anybody. Because compared to God, everybody's nobody. And therefore, Moshe had to do what he did.
So what was Aaron looking towards God?
Aaron was forced to do it. Aaron thought that what he was doing would make it better because he'd stall, and then by then Moshe Rabbeinu would come back. But obviously Hashem had different plans.
Rabbi, this is one of the most terrible paragraphs in the Torah, the Gemara, everything.
Who knows
whoever
all the Gemara?
Is for Hashem, join me and all the Levites.
We're not there yet. Can I get there? Hey, don't jump the gun.
But
you're going to get me out of a job soon. Hey.
No, I'm not going to get you out of a job, but
okay.
Moses said, God said you should kill each other.
Shh, don't tell everybody what...
Yamed Moshe
B'Shad HaMachna. Okay, page 500. Yamed Moshe B'Shad HaMachna. Moshe Rabbeinu stood at the gateway of the camp, and he said, Mila Hashem Eloi, who is for Hashem? In other words, who is clearly not interested in the eagle, not interested in worshipping idols, not interested, who is loyal to Hashem? And the whole tribe of Levi gathered to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Gemara says that actually every single Levite taka did not sin in the eagle. And therefore they merited to take over the job from the firstborn. Until the eagle, the firstborns worked in the Mishkan. They did the jobs, they were supposed to be the ones that were supposed to work in the Mishkan. Once the Bechorim sinned in the Egel, So because the Levium didn't sin, that's why Hashem gave over the job to the Levium. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes, gets up in the camp, and he said, Kol Shevet Levi, who didn't sin? The whole Shevet Levi didn't sin. Now, what's the advantage that they didn't sin? So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say, we're going to see it like this. V'yem Elohim, let's see what Moshe Rabbeinu said to them. Koyam Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so God said. And we'll soon see where did God say such a thing. Simu Yishchar Ba'yerechei, each person should put his sword on his thigh, meaning get your sword ready. Ivru V'shuvu, go back and forth. Mishar L'shar, from gate to gate, B'machan in the camp. V'hirgu Ish Esochiv, each man should kill his brother. V'ish Es Reyehu, each man his friend. V'ish Es Kareven, each man his relative. Meaning, Hashem says, there's a din in Torah as follows. And later on in Devarim, there's a din, if a city goes to worship idols, so it says the pasuk as follows. Yad ha'edim tihi abay barishayna lahamisei, v'yad kol ha'am b'acharayna. The pasuk says, and this was the halacha, the edim, the witnesses, that saw the crime of idol worshipping or whatever it is, they were the first ones to kill the people. Now, the only kosher witnesses over here were Levi, because they didn't sin. Anybody that sinned, obviously, cannot be a kosher witness. Right? They can't be a kosher witness. They were involved in the sin. The only ones that didn't sin were Shevet Levi. So Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is where the Chazal say, Koyam Hashem, where did God say it? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yad Edom Tia Beber Yishayna Lahamisei. The Edom have to be the first ones. So the only tribe that was able to be kosher witnesses was the tribe of Levi, because they didn't sin, and therefore they have the right, they have the obligation to do it. They should go around and kill their brothers. So Rashi right away asked the question, if everyone of Levi didn't sin, so none of their brothers sinned either. So how can you say go kill your brother, which would mean that seemingly a Levi? So it means, as Rashi explains, a half-brother. Same mother, but a different father. So therefore, the person wasn't from the tribe of Levi. And this was the Mesiras Nefesh of the tribe of Levi. It's not easy to kill a relative. It's not easy to, unless you hate them, but it's not easy to kill a half-brother and to go kill and everything like this. It's very difficult to do.
Is Christianity that way? Also idol worshipping? In general.
Is Christianity idol worshipping? For a Jew or for a guy?
For a guy. Where are you in the Polish?
Page 500. What?
For a guy.
If Christianity is an... I always have to do it here. Whether Christianity is idol worshipping or not is an argument between the Rambam and Tesis. For a Jew, Christianity is definitely Avodah Zarah. There is, and it's really connected here, because we'll soon see how this gets in over here. But there is something called Shituf. In other words, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, one of the seven Noach laws, is that they're not allowed to worship idols. First, okay? Now, the question is believing in Christianity for a guy? So the Rambam writes, Muslims is not Avodah Zarah, because they believe in God. Muhammad is only a prophet. And the Rambam holds that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, because they believe in Yoshka not only as a prophet, but they believe him as God, a trinity, whatever it may be. Tesis holds that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. Okay? Now, for a Jew, everybody says it is. What's the difference? In Halacha, there's a machlekes, what's called Shituf. What does Shituf mean? Shituf means, literally means a partnership. When the Gemara says, Gimel Shutfim Ba'odam, there are three partners in creation of a baby. Father, mother, and God. Now, why is a parent, father, mother, called partners if the primary partner is Hashem? The answer is because the parents have the free choice to have the child or not to have the child. So therefore, they're called a shutuf. A shutuf means one who has a say in the matter, one who has free will to do or not to do. You don't come along when a chopper, a wood chopper, chops with an axe. Okay, chops down the tree. He does you a favor. He chops down the tree for you. So you say thank you to the person. You don't say thank you to the axe. Okay? If somebody asks you to write something, and you write it for them, you're not going to say thank you to the pen. If somebody gives you a ride, unless it's a Ferrari, you're not going to say thank you to the car. You're going to say thank you to the person, not to the car. Right? Okay. Yeah? Okay. Now, you don't say thank you. Why don't you say thank you to the car? L'chaida, the car got you there. Why didn't you say thank you to the car? No, if you think about it, why not? The answer is very simple. The car doesn't have free choice. The driver drove, and the car goes. The car has free choice to do it or not to do it. Why do you say thank you to somebody? They had the choice to do it, or they had the choice not to do it. Correct? Now, a goy has an obligation to believe, according to all opinions, that God is God. Is there anything else in the world that has a say in the matter or not? Like the mazel, the constellations, astrology. Do they have a say in the matter or not? So according to, for a Jew, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, a Jew is obligated to believe that nothing else in the world has an opinion but God. And everything else, whether the sun and the moon, the constellations, the stars, whatever it may be, is only like the axe in the hand of the chopper. So therefore, there's no respect for the axe, there's no respect for the car, there's no thank you to the car, nothing. You don't worship the car. Okay? Because it has no say in the matter. That is what a Jew has to believe. Is a guy allowed to believe that there is another sayer, another opinion, or another free choice by anything else in the world? That is what's called shituf, that there's a partner. What does a partner mean? That they have a say in the matter to do or not to do. So whether a guy is allowed to believe in that or not is an argument, like we said, between Rambam and Tosis. Okay? So, because Christianity is saying that Yoshke is something that has a say, an opinion, and could do or whatever it can do. A Jew is not allowed to believe in that. Now over here, one second, over here by the Egel, they didn't believe in the Egel. Initially, they made it to replace Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Erev Rav began that way because they knew the Jew, they're not going to come to the Jews and say, let's make another God. They know the Jews wouldn't believe it. So first they made an eagle to replace Moshe. What did they say eventually? Ela lekecha Yisrael, this became your God. That's what happens when they start a little sin, and then they, like the Yetzirah, it gets you first to do a little sin, and then the Yetzirah is not going to come to a Jew and say, go do a big sin. He's not going to listen. He starts with a little sin, and then until he gets you to go worship idols. The eagle did not have a din of shituf. The eagle, either the Ela lekecha Yisrael, they worshipped it as God. Nobody believes that. It's not that religion. It's not that religion.
You've avoided, Rabbi, you've avoided a lifelong argument by saying, and you'll forgive me, that the goyim can't believe in a God.
Huh?
That's what you hinted at.
No, I said goyim have to believe in God.
Yes, they do.
I know they do. I said they do.
Only by God. Only believe in God. Not in God.
Okay. So now he says like this. Go kill everybody, you know, your relatives, your friends. Just kill anybody that was participating in the eagle. Now, the Mefarshim explain, even though normally, Eved Avedah Zarah, the punishment for idol worshipping is stoning. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Levim just to take your swords and kill? The answer is, there's too many people. You can't bring everybody to Beis Din and, you know, start stoning. So he told them the easier, the more practical way was take your swords and start killing everybody. And you can't bring everybody to do it. So therefore, the Mefarshim learn, actually, what does it mean, Ivru v'shuva mishar l'shar? It's a very funny expression. Go from gate to gate. It's just like go all over the place. Ivru v'shuva means go back and forth. So the Mefarshim should learn, Shar l'shar, Shar is the Kamta ve'Alisa, where was the Bezdin sitting? In the gates. So the Mefarshim learned that Moshe Rabbeinu told Shevet Levi, go be a... The question, how can you judge? You can't just kill people without a court, without a sentence. So it says, Mefarshim say, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said over here. Even over Shuva Mishar Lishar, he told Levi, you guys make Bati Dinim, you guys make a Bezdin, and judge all the people, because there was a lot of Levium, so they're able to judge a lot of people at the same time, and kill them. But they weren't just killed without a court case. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Levi, even over Shuva Mishar Lishar, make actually, there should be a court case. Made Levim should be the Bezdin, and they should be able to do it.
Did Moshe or Aaron kill anybody?
Here or ever?
No. Here.
It doesn't say that they did. Now, obviously, Moshe and Aaron both Levim. Aaron couldn't kill anybody because he wasn't a kosher witness. He was involved in it. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be a kosher witness. He wasn't there. Nadav and Abihu probably did. Doesn't say who did and who didn't. But if you think about it, we just mentioned the Mefarshim explained why did the Levium do it, because they were the only ones that didn't worship the Eagle. So therefore they were Edom. They were the witnesses, right? Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be a witness. He wasn't there. He was.
And Aaron was the main instigator.
Aaron was involved. He also couldn't be an aid. So logically, you'd have to say Moshe and Aaron did not go kill anybody.
But did any? I mean, the thing I'm trying to get at is a Kohen who is involved in killing somebody.
Can you speak louder, please?
A Kohen who is involved in killing somebody can't do Brachas Kohan. Is that correct?
Unless if he. Not if he's. One second. Not this type of killing.
Not this type of killing?
When Hashem says to kill, he could still do Berchas Kohanim. A Kohen who killed somebody intentionally, or even, God forbid, accidentally killed somebody, cannot do Berchas Kohanim. Because Berchas Kohanim is peace in this the
right
person.
Right now or in the past?
Well, whatever, let's not discuss now. In the past, at least. Okay, they were not allowed, no, they were not, one second, they were not allowed to do it. Right? But when Hashem says to kill, a Bezdin that kills somebody is not, are not called murderers.
Not a Bezdin, but what if, I mean, it's a cult. So if they're commanded by a Bezdin to kill,
then they have to kill.
Then they can still do Berchas Kohanim.
Yeah. Right.
What page, John?
500. What?
Still 500?
Or 500.
I didn't hear you. What?
Did he kill anybody?
I hope not. Okay. It says the Yasub and Elevi Kedam Meisha. Pasuk 28, Chavches. The Bnei Levi did like Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Vayipol min ha'am b'yemahu, and they killed, now that day, Kishlesh Yisalfi is approximately 3,000 people. Okay? And, now it says, right away, that the Mefarshim explained that they didn't bury them right away. They wanted the people to see the punishment for the ones that worshipped the eagle.
What percentage were Jew and what percentage were Egyptians?
There was a pretty strong percentage of the Egyptians here. Different opinions. Some say 30,000 Egyptians. Now, these were the second one, meaning the ones that were warned and did it anyway, they got killed by the sword. That's what the people Levi killed. The people that did it intentionally but weren't warned by witnesses, so they drank the water and they died. The people that did it, of the rest of the people, meaning they did it intentionally, but they weren't warned at all, so to speak. So they, as the Pasuk is going to say later, they died in a plague. So there are actually three deaths going on in this day. One was Moshe Rabbeinu gave the people that were not warned by witnesses. Moshe Rabbeinu gave them water to drink with the eagle's dust in it. If they were guilty, they died. If they were innocent, they didn't. The ones that were warned by witnesses, the tribe of Levi killed, and the other people died in the plague. What?
Does it happen in the same order that we're reading it? Where they
no.
drank the water first? Because I would say that doesn't make any
logic. No, first they drank the water. Well, if you...
They drank the water first.
But there are obviously other people that they knew that were... warned.
So when they drank water, everybody drank water, and then only those that were guilty.
I don't know what the order was. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. So it says, what?
It's complaining to the Aaron that he's wrong for what he did. But his nephew Hur was killed because of it. Because he protested. What was Aaron supposed to do?
Aaron was afraid. Im Yari became a Navi. It says in Eichod there's a pasuk, and Aaron knew this, that if they would have killed a Kohen and a Navi, they would have never been able to be forgiven. Im Yahari b'migdash Hashem Kohen v'Navi. It's a pasuk in Eichod. Okay, so when Aaron saw that Hur, who was a Navi, got killed, Aaron said, "If I protest and they kill me, they will never be able to get forgiveness." So that's why Aaron, not that he was afraid to die. Aaron didn't want to be killed because then the Jews would be finished. So that's why he didn't protest like Hur. Okay. Vayayim Meisha said to the Jews like this. Milu Yadchem Ayem Lashem, dedicate yourselves today to Hashem. Meaning, Meisha Rabbeinu said, you guys started serving Hashem. Whatever it is, you guys have to be the ones that the readiness to do whatever Hashem wants them to do. Ki ish b'bnei v'achiv, because each man of the posed the son and his brother. B'laseis aleichem aliyem bracha, to give you a bracha today. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the tribe of Levi, you should know that even though you killed your relatives or whatever it is, but you should know that this is actually a bracha. Hashem is giving you a blessing because of what you did. When it comes to stick up for Hashem, like we said before, there's no cover, there's no nothing. Okay, Vayimi Macharas, it was the next day. Vayimi Meshalom, Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jews, Atem Chatasim Chato Gedelo, you sinned a terrible sin. But now I see at least that you were sorry for what you did. How did Moshe Rabbeinu know that the Jews were sorry? Okay, maybe the Jews didn't do tshuva. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Now, Ela al Hashem, let me go up to Hashem. Ule echaper bat chadaschem. Maybe I'll get forgiveness for your sins." The question: how did Moshe Rabbeinu know the Jews were taka sorry? So the Mefarshim explained a very simple proof. Because when the Levites were going around killing people, nobody stopped them. Think about it. Levim are going around killing them. Nobody stood up against the Levim to stop them. So that was a proof to Moshe Rabbeinu that the Jews did tshuva. Now that Moshe Rabbeinu sees that the Jews did tshuva, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, Atem chatasim chato gedele, you sinned this terrible big sin. So now Moshe Rabbeinu says, maybe I can go achap rebat chataschem. And it's interesting, kapara, Rashi explains over here, is actually a cleansing process, a kinuach, a wiping and a washing process. That's the word kapara. It washes lichluch achet, the filth of the sin. So he says, v'ata el al Hashem, maybe I'm going to go up to Hashem. I'm going to be able to maybe get forgiveness for the Aveda that you did. Okay, now that I see that you did Shuva, we're going to go now and see what we could do to Hashem.
Can I back up 1 second?
Yeah.
What kind of Navi was Hur? I mean, he obviously didn't see that he was going to get killed.
No, because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up to the mountain, and he said to the Jews, Hinei Adon v'chur imachem, before we learned. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai at the end of Mishpatim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen guys, I'm going up. Aaron and Hur are here. That means, obviously, Aaron and Hur are on the same level. So Aaron was a Navi, Hur was a Navi. And that's why Aaron was afraid if Hur was going to get killed, I mean, got killed. And don't forget, that was Aaron's nephew. I mean, Hur was Miriam's son, Rashi says, right? Kalev ben Yefuna was his father, and Miriam was the mother. Kalev married Miriam, and Hur was a child. So he was a Navi. He came from the line of Naviim. You know? So he said, if I get killed, that's it. There's no way it's going to be forgiven.
And he was killed by whom?
For Aaron.
By the Jews. What?
So
That's what Aaron is defending himself. I have to understand. Aaron is not only defending himself. Aaron was a Jew lover. Aaron was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, they went nuts. You know, it's a Meshuggah people. It's the Eid of Rav. And don't blame the Jews for what the Eid of Rav did. And he said, and if anything, we said at the beginning, it's your fault. Don't be angry because you took them out of Egypt. Aaron said it to Moshe. Okay, so he says like this.
Still consider the angle that Aaron did.
Yeah. Bottom line is, with all excuses, like we said, the thing still wasn't done. Over here, with all the excuses that Aaron had to make the eagle, bottom line is, he made it.
No matter what.
No matter what. Listen, it says, Megalgalan, the Gemara says, Megalgalan schus aide zakai, v'chayva aide chayva. Good things happen through good people, bad things happen through bad people. We mentioned before, about if a Kohen, God forbid, kills somebody accidentally, yeah? Or as the Gemara says, you have to run the mitzvahs in Rambam these days. If somebody kills somebody accidentally, they have to run to a city of refuge, yeah? And they have to stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies. And the Gemara says that Golus, Gemara Makkah says that Golus is in a certain respect even worse than death. You know, death, you get killed, it's all over. And this is sitting in, like, in jail. You know, not jail, but it was a city, you were stuck, right? The question is, a guy is coming off down a ladder. The case in the Chumash. A guy is coming down a ladder. He trips. He falls down. Kills his best friend. Yeah? So there's no animosity. There's no hatred. It's his best friend. The guy's coming down the ladder, the way the Gemara explains it. He trips. He falls down and his best friend, God forbid, and he kills him. He has to run to the city of refuge. The question is a very simple question, a fundamental question. What the heck did he do already? It's his fault. He wanted to kill him. What? It was an accident. It was a total accident, 100% accident. Okay? Why does he have to go to a city of refuge? Why is it, in a certain respect, it's even worse than death, the Gemara says? Why? And the answer is very simple. Because the Gemara uses the expression, Lo yo'une le'tzadik kol oven. Even though Taisus in Kedushin says it applies only to food, but Taisus not in Kedushin, but Taisus says it applies to food. But nevertheless, the Gemara says like this, if a person would not have any connection to murder whatsoever, Hashem would have never allowed such a terrible thing to come about through him. The fact that Hashem allowed that this terrible death came about through A shows that A has some type of connection in their soul to murder. Because otherwise, it would have never happened through them. Therefore, the fact that it happened through you, and God allowed it through you, means you have a connection to murder. Maybe because you're an angry person, maybe because whatever the concept is, you have a connection to murder, and for that is what you need kapara for.
Could
it
be your grandfather with connection?
No, it's the person.
Could it be you?
Yeah.
So bottom line, that is God's will then.
Yeah, but through you.
Yeah, through the person and about this.
But the fact is, the person did it.
But that was God's will, though.
Yes. Yeah, but you still have to.
Yeah, because he had to do something in the
but
past.
But God's will, God could have made the guy die in many different ways. Why did the guy die through the person? Because the person has a connection to murder. What?
So what does the guy do when he gets to the city of refuge?
He learns, he davens, conducts business. He lives a regular life. He just has to stay in the city.
Yeah, but if at the end of the day you have a relation to murder and you kill the guy, then why shouldn't you be...
No, that staying in the city of refuge is the forgiveness, the suffering that forgives you.
No, but it's only manslaughter. No, but what I'm trying to say is if it's an accident, you should, then you should either be let go.
But it's not an accident, though.
No, the fact that you have a, not you, I don't mean you, God forbid. I'm saying that the person has a connection to murder means they need forgiveness.
It's not an accident.
Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. If somebody, and this is explained across the board, by the way,
right.
Somebody who is extremely careful in kashrus will never come to eat something treif accidentally. And if somebody, God forbid, comes to eat something not kosher, even accidentally, you know, they thought it was kosher, whatever it may be, that shows that they're not as careful as they should be in kashrus. Because if you're as careful as you should be in kashrus, God would have never allowed for you to come to eat treif, even accidentally. Because even though something is done accidentally, the bottom line is, it's still done. There's a rule in the Gemara, Einis, commander Ovid, lo yamrinan. An Einis, an emergency situation. You're not punished for it, but it still wasn't done. There's a very interesting law in the Gemara, in Gittin, one second. And the Gemara in Gittin says, and the Rishenim explained this. If a guy gives a get to his wife on a condition, okay? He gives a get to his wife on the condition. And he says, if I don't come back in 30 days, if I don't come back in 30 days, the get is effective. Okay? So if he comes back in 30 days, it's no get. If he doesn't come back, he comes back on the 31st day, she's divorced. He could do that. I mean, nowadays we don't do it, but in the time of the Gemara, there are a lot of divorces on conditions. Okay? If the condition is met, the get is a get. If the condition is not met, the get's not a get. So what happens if a guy is coming back on the 30th day and he's running and he's like, I'm coming. And all of a sudden somebody grabs him and pulls him away and he doesn't get back. The halacha is the get's still a get. The guy wanted to come. He's coming. There was a monster grabbed him and threw him away. What? The Gemara says, nobody's blaming you for not coming. If you didn't put on tefillin that day because the monster grabbed you, you're not obligated. You know you're not going to get punished. But the bottom line is, did you come? No, you didn't come. Right? Did you put tefillin on that day? You're not going to be punished. But the bottom line, did you put on tefillin that day? No. Anus, commander of it, by an anus, by a forced situation. Commander of it, that to say that you did it, we don't say you did it. You didn't do it. The fact that a person can come to sin, even if it's completely accidental, again, you fell off the ladder, you tripped, it wasn't your fault, the wrong, the, whatever it is. You fell on top of somebody and killed them, God forbid. Bottom line is, you have a connection to murder, and for that you need forgiveness. You ate treif accidentally, many times you'd have to bring a korban chatos. Why? Bottom line is, you have a connection, because if not, it wouldn't have happened. Yes?
So, with all respect,
to whom?
Community, you know, I'm not sure the exact story where there was somebody who was serving trade for a whole community. And so that whole community, every person was not careful in cash flow.
To a certain extent, yeah. This is not mine, by the way. This says in the books.
No,
I don't make up my own stuff.
That means
you do.
That's what you're supposed to think, but it's not the truth. Don't tell anybody. What?
So every person was not careful.
Let me ask you a question.
No, I'm asking you.
Yeah, that's the fact. The fact is
we're talking about the most careful people in Kashrut.
The most careful people you should know didn't end up eating there.
They don't eat out of their own house.
The meat comes into the house.
They have their own cows.
But that's that. If you think about Chassidus, it's not only Chassidus. It's Midrashim. It's Gemaris. It's Mefarshim. Discuss it. They discuss why does a guy who killed his best friend accidentally have to go to the city of refuge? What did he do wrong?
On a macro level.
What's the difference? Obviously, it's not as bad as murder. But the bottom line is, if somebody, I tell you, I was once in a guy's house, a religious guy. He had a drink on the table that had a not reliable heksher. Okay, and there was grape juice in that thing. And I said to him, "You shouldn't drink this." Okay, you shouldn't be drinking this. He says, why? The guy that says it's kosher, he's going to burn, not me. There's a hechsher on it. It wasn't an acceptable hechsher, right? But he says, he says it's kosher, he's going to burn, not me. Because he says it's kosher. I said to him, what are you talking about? I said, if somebody gives you poison and tells you it's the most healthiest thing in the world, okay? A doctor says this is the most healthiest food in the world and it's poison, you drink it. He's going to die, you're going to die. The bottom line is, by the way, this is a fundamental point that everybody has to understand. If you again, I don't mean present company excluded. If a person sins an accidental sin, meaning they ate treif and they thought it was kosher, it was supposed to be kosher, everything. Bottom line is, if the person had no connection to treif, they wouldn't have eaten it. There is a story with Reb Shmuel Munkus.
What are you referring by connection?
The person not as careful as they should be in kashrus. Well, and therefore...
He died, his friend, you said, he had some connection.
He has a connection in his personality to murder. And therefore he has to run to the city of refuge. There was a story, it's a famous story of Reb Shmuel Munkus. He was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, but he was a very lively chassid. But he was a very great chassid. The chassidim were once for bringing at night. And they ran out of food. So it's the middle of the night, and they, you know, when you're for bringing, you need drink mashke, you need what's called farbais and chaser. So they send somebody to the butcher to get a lung, because a lung was a delicacy in those days. And the guy went to the butcher, and everybody was waiting anxiously for the guy to come back with the meat from the butcher. So when Rabbi Shmuel Munkus saw that the guy came back from the butcher, and the people were about to go for it, he grabbed the lung away from the person, and he started dancing, and he didn't let anybody come to get them to touch the meat. And then the more he danced to get it away from the people, the more they were charging him to get it. It got to a point where they were almost about to get him, and it was it. So what he did was he took the meat and he threw it into the garbage, but not like today's garbage cans you could take it out of. It's finished. And they wanted to kill him. All of a sudden, the butcher comes running. The butcher came and he said, "Oi, the Beisai, by mistake, I gave you a tray for lung. Instead of a kosher lung, I gave you a tray for lung." So now the chassidim turned to Reb Shmuel and they said, "What? You're doing miracles? That's a chutzpah. Only Rebbes do miracles, not chassidim." So they were about to beat him up for doing a miracle. That, you know, he knew it was treif. He said, "I'll tell you the truth. It wasn't a miracle." He said one of the first things when he became a chassid is he learned that if you want something too much, there has to be something wrong with it. The fact that the Yetzer is so strong and so powerful that you want it, something's not right. He said, when I saw how much the people were going crazy to get this, I knew in my heart, not that I knew it was treif, I just knew something was wrong with it. Because the Yetzer Hara was too strong. And the stronger you guys got, the more I knew it was wrong. So finally I threw it down. But it wasn't a miracle. In other words, that is a person, so to speak, that was safe from eating treif. Because these are people that, you know, didn't have the ability to have any connection to treif, so that's what they did. If a person can have a connection to murder, if a person murders somebody, they have a connection to murder. A person can accidentally be treif, if a person accidentally desecrates Shabbat, whatever it may be, the person has a connection to it, and that's why a shaygig, a person who commits a crime accidentally, needs kapara. The Gemara doesn't tell you, you have to bring a korm chatos, you have to go to the city of refuge. That's all because, bottom line is, an accidental sin is still done. You still did the sin. How does God allow a person to sin accidentally? Because obviously you have a connection to that sin. And you're not perfect in that aspect of Yiddishkeit, and therefore Hashem is showing you you need improvement. The Gemara says another story. The Gemara in Shabbos says a story. The Chacham made a Gzeira, a decree on Shabbos, you can't read next to a kerosene lamp. Okay, in the second parak of Shabbos, the Gemara says, "Bamer madlikin, bamer ein madlikin." What things you're allowed to light Shabbos candles? What things not? So it says you can't use a kerosene lamp and you can't read next to a kerosene lamp. Why? Because in the olden times they had a button to make the flame larger or smaller, right? Bigger or smaller, more fuel, less fuel. So the Gemara says, we're afraid that if you're going to read next to a kerosene lamp, shemayate, maybe you're going to make the flame bigger. You know, you're going to be forgetting, you're going to be reading, you're going to be forgetting, and you might make the flame bigger. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, who is Rabbi Kiva's colleague, which according to one opinion was a Kohen Gadol, this is Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said, me? It's not going to happen to me. It's not going to happen to me. So the Gemara says, he read by the lamp. And there's two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is he was about to make it bigger, and he caught himself in time. Another opinion says he taka did it. But even the opinion that says he didn't do it, Rabbi Shmuel said, "Kshayivne beis hamigdash." This is what the Gemara says. When the beis hamigdash will be built, avi chata shmeina, I'm going to bring a fat, juicy sin offering. Even though he didn't do it, why? Because I didn't listen to the chachamim. In other words, his guilt was not that he even did it. The fact that he almost did it. When the Chachamim say you can't do it, and he thought I'm an exception to the rule, he realized, you know what? There's no exceptions to the rule. The Torah says no. The fact that I almost did it, that you almost came to sin, it says in Sfarim, from there they see that even if you almost come to sin, you also need to do tshuva, even if you didn't actually sin, because you got too close for comfort. So coming back to finish off over here, the fact that Aaron, with all his justifications and all the reasons, and Aaron was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi says, nevertheless, Vayete Oigal Azeh, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say later, at the end of the bottom of 500, Hashem punished the nation, and the eagle which Aaron made, he was to blame. Because bottom line, he made it. Whatever excuses.
So what happened to him?